When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ben Standig covers the team for The Athletic. He is our insider on this show. You can follow him on X, on Twitter, at Ben Standig. You should read him in The Athletic, and he's got a podcast called Standig Room Only. Ben was there yesterday. We will get caught up on some of the injuries from the game, but we'll do it the way we do it every week on Mondays. I've talked for 2.5 hours now, taking calls. What'd you think?
I think we've just been breaking down Georgetown's win over Seton Hall.
You know what? Can I just tell you something? I literally, during the break, I knew they were playing Seton Hall, and after they had gotten that win the other night, I was curious as to what had happened because I did not know. And they held on for dear life at the end, and they're 2-0 in the Big East. Good for them.
Yeah, how about that? I had no idea either. I'm clearly joking about that. Jaden Daniels is becoming a real pain in the you-know-what for us sports writers, right? Because we're so ingrained that when this team starts to lose and starts making tons of mistakes, this is just going to be all over. They're going to lose. That's just how it's going to go. So at various points, you know, you got to start prepping. What are you going to write? And I'm writing, hey, you know, they brought Marshawn Lattimore in for these kinds of games, and, you know, it didn't really quite work out in this regard. And, hey, you know, this is another game where they go up against a team that's going to the playoffs with a winning record and they lose, et cetera, et cetera. But the whole game you keep thinking, why are they still in this game? The Eagles should have put this way away 16 different ways. Obviously Jalen Hurts getting hurt, you know, helped that. But when it got to back, you know, when it got to the 2-minute warning and the Eagles settled for that last field goal, my immediate thought was, he is gonna win this game.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I'm at with this guy. I mean, he is just unflappable over and over and over again. And, you know, I think for me, like, watching this is another reminder that there's always this conversation about teams getting a franchise quarterback, and what people – that term is just so misunderstood. People think it's like you draft a guy in the first round and therefore he becomes hopefully your franchise quarterback, or because somebody puts up good stats and is a good quarterback, you know, that they're a franchise quarterback. And I don't think that's the definition at all. I think the definition is something more akin to when everything else around you is going wrong, you lift the whole thing up. And this is a team, as we know, that they're missing pass catchers other than Terry McLaurin. You know, the offensive line for the second straight week, you know, there's some questions. I mean, they were giving – the Eagles got basically as much pass rush pressure as the Saints did the week before. Zach Ertz played but was basically a non-factor. And look, the defense, you know, generally speaking, you know, they were put in a tough spot just because the offense could do nothing. And they did a lot better in the second half, but that was without Jalen Hurts, right? And yet this kid just goes in and somehow wills this thing to work. I mean, Zacchaeus and Crowder had a combined 0 touchdowns going into this game, and they finished the game with 4. The runs that Jaden Daniels had, I mean, that fourth down in 11 was just crazy. The one on the last drive, was spectacular. And look, he obviously wasn't his best. It wasn't like his – he didn't have the cleanest game. The two interceptions were like legit interceptions, you know, an overthrow and a poor decision throwing across the middle while backpedaling. But the game on the line, I know this will sound somewhat hyperbolic, but other than Mahomes and Josh Allen, I'm sort of pressed right now to figure out who I would not want to face more than this kid in the last 2 minutes of a tight game. He's just, you know, I don't believe that they're the team that like people should be afraid of in the playoffs, but he is a player a team should be afraid of in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I think that right now, I mean, this is like a conversation for another day, but he's an elite quarterback right now. I find it really hard for somebody to beat me in a debate over what he is right now. He's truly one of the game's elite quarterbacks. He's actually one of the greatest, and I know it's only been 15 games, as a scrambler in particular, he's up there with the greatest we've ever seen. Lamar would be, you know, from recent times, but go back to Michael Vick and Steve Young, you know, and way back to guys like Staubach. He has, you know, he's got great vision, great feel. You brought up the run in the final drive where I forget who he juked at the, you know, about 3 yards beyond the line of scrimmage, but he's got, you know, when people said to me during the offseason, oh, he's just RG3, no, he's got vision, he's got spatial awareness, he's got feel, he's got wiggle, he's got all those things that make a great runner, a great evader of pressure. I mean, he is a bad play eraser. And to your point about franchise quarterback, no matter what, you know, how you want to define it, and everybody has a different definition, when you're talking about an elite quarterback, the trait that you're talking about is you don't have a great team, but you elevate it to the point where it can win games and beat good teams. And that's what he did yesterday. I mean, it was all about offensively his right arm and his two legs, period. That's why they won the game. And when they get to the postseason, you can't count him out against anybody because of what he can do. He can elevate all around him. But anyway, what else?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just, you know, remarkable. And you know, this is, you know, it's like for me, whenever we talk about like NBA, who are the best players ever, what you do in the final few minutes of a game matters so, so much to me. Statistics are great, but like if you're doing it over the first 40 minutes or so, and then you don't want the ball in the last few, or you don't come up big, you know, you're going to lose some sway with me. Same thing, same argument I kind of made with Peyton Manning over the years. Great stats, but how many times in big spots did he look lesser than the guy we've seen? Again, it's only 15 games for Jaden Daniels. We can't go too crazy on this in terms of what we're seeing. But at the same point, how many times this year in the clutch has he said, yeah, I want the ball right here, give it to me. He never blinks, all that stuff. It's true. It's not even hyperbole. It's just what keeps happening. And, you know, again, to the point of where this thing is going, you know, barring the unforeseen or, you know, the things that, you know, whatever that could happen down the line in someone's life, I don't see how this isn't going to work to the nth degree. And now they just have to get the pieces around him more. And obviously Adam Peters will have $100 million in cap space this year and draft picks and going forward. So this is, you know, we've talked about this for a while, but just another more evidence piled on to say that, wow, I mean, they really do have something pretty special here.
So let's talk about what, you know, the aftermath and Marshawn Lattimore not being out there for, I don't know, was it the final two series? I picked it up, I think maybe early in the fourth quarter, midway through the fourth quarter, that he wasn't out there. De'Ami Brown was hurt. What do you know? I know we'll find out more at 3:30 from Quinn, but just give the list of the players that were hurt in the game yesterday and what they were.
Yeah, well, we asked Dan Quinn after the game, and obviously there was a ton going on, but he said he didn't have any more for us at that point. The Lattimore thing, look, when you go back to the trade itself, when it happened, clearly he's one of the better cornerbacks in the league, and that was a position of weakness. And, you know, they gave up some picks for him, but because of the previous moves, including the Dotson trade, they had a little bit of a surplus. So, it, you know, looked like a pretty good trade in that regard from an asset perspective. The question was, what's up with the injuries? Is he going to be able to stay healthy? And, you know, not even just this one hamstring injury, but just this the last two or three years where this has happened, where he's been hurt. And now, you know, he obviously missed several weeks once the trade happened. And now this happening in game, I mean, to say it's not concerning would be, you know, a lie, I guess, right? And I'm not just talking about, is he going to play against Atlanta? I just mean going forward. What is it with his injuries that he is just continuing to miss games? Hopefully, he'll, you know, whatever the training staff here can do with him in the offseason or whatever, maybe they can help do something that wasn't getting done before. So we'll see. I mean, look, obviously, you know, it was a mixed bag of results for him early on in the game. When Hurts is in there, ironically, I thought that you know, he made some good plays on A.J. Brown. And we saw him travel with the Eagles' top receiver, which is something we wondered. But, you know, the start of the second half, we can quibble for sure about the pass interference calls and whether all three of them were. But, like, you know, there was something going on there, and the Eagles were not afraid to go his way. Obviously, A.J. Brown is their top guy, but they have other weapons, unlike the Saints, who were petrified to throw his way. So, you know, this wasn't a game that necessarily showcased the upside of what he can do. And by the way, Saquon Barkley running for over 100 yards in the first quarter, the whole point of having a guy like Lattimore is to be able to stack the box and prevent that type of production again. Then when Hurts goes out, then they were able to quiet Barkley a bit. That's more on the Jalen Hurts aspect rather than, I think, the defense. So we'll see where he's at. Andrew Wiley was hurt late in the game, and De'Ami Brown a hamstring. So, yeah, we'll have to see what Coyne tells us today.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, I think Philly's injuries are really crucial to hear about today, too, because if, you know, Jalen Hurts can't go or Pickett can't go because he got hurt in that game, too. He went for x-rays on his ribs. Imagine if they have to start Tanner McKee against the Cowboys this coming week. You could take this division race till the final week of the season. Now, they play the Giants, and the Giants appear to be in total tank mode. They do not want to win another game. They want to end up with the top draft pick or certainly vie for it. There are things in play for sure. We are talking, of course, to Ben Standing. They get Atlanta on Saturday night. They could clinch conceivably before that if Tampa were to lose to Carolina, and Carolina's been playing everybody tough recently. This matchup next Sunday night, by the way, the extended, not cold next weekend. More on the mild side. Maybe wet, Ben, but not cold. That's another thing we found out yesterday. I mean, it wasn't that bad in terms of the weather. It's sunny, not a lot of wind. But Jaden not affected by the coldest weather game he's played in his career.
Yeah, I was thinking about how many of the random narratives surrounding him questioning certain things as he checked off. I mean, obviously, you know, like you said, there wasn't wind, and that can, you know, mess up anybody, but, like, it was pretty cold, and, you know, he didn't look like it was bothering him at all. The touchdown pass to Crowder, correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin, I seem to recall people saying pre-draft that he doesn't throw over the middle, that's a concern.
Well, you know, I didn't say it.
Well, you know, yeah, ignoring that LSU had, you know, two dominant outside receivers, and the ball went to them mostly. So, you know, that box is checked. He got a slide in this game, right? His sliding's been much better the last few weeks. So, yeah, I mean, he's checking off a lot of boxes for sure. And, look, obviously, you know, depending on what happens here with, you know, playoff seeding, if they get in, you know, they could very well be at Philly if Philly's the two seed and they're the seven. And, you know, presumably it's not going to be, it's not going to feel like Hawaii in January there. So, yeah, there's going to be more to come. And not these next two games. Well, actually, you know, like you just said, it sounds like it'll be decent weather against Atlanta, and then Dallas is obviously indoors. So, you know, but in the playoffs, it's, you know, decent chance that would happen again. They'd have to be in that weather again.
It's amazing what we're watching, that's for sure. Real quickly, do you think there's any chance John Allen's back this week?
My understanding is there's a chance. I mean, I think, like, this past week I didn't believe that, but, you know, from what I've heard, I think there is a chance now. You know, I don't know how he reacted to being out there with practice the last few days. On Friday, though, he was wearing the standard jersey versus a non-contact jersey that he had on earlier in the week. So that's a sign of progress. So, yeah, I think there's a chance that that could happen. You know, we'll have to see where they're at, right? Because there's a world where before they play the game, they've already made the playoffs, right? If Tampa Bay loses, I think I'm right.
Yeah,
on
they're
that.
In if Tampa loses at 1 o'clock.
Right. So based on that, you know, maybe they could say, hey, you know, we like the progress, but maybe, you know, we wait on him. Same could be the same thing with other guys too, like Lattimore or whomever, if that's the deal. Obviously, also, you know, tonight Green Bay is playing. I don't imagine they're losing at home to the Saints, but you know, if
no,
they
but
were,
they play Minnesota on the road Sunday. So
right.
There's a chance, a decent chance they could catch Green Bay for the sixth spot and probably end up playing in L.A. against the Rams in the first round and not end up playing Philly. They got a decent shot. I mean, Green Bay, I'm going to guess that game's pick 'em. Maybe Minnesota's a 1 or 2 point favorite Sunday. But if they catch Green Bay, they win the tiebreaker.
Right, right. So all these things have to be factored into how much you'd want to push a guy who's been out pretty much all, you know, since week six. But yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely possible. And, you know, look, again, Saquon Barkley is the best running back in the league. Fine. But you can't give up 100 yards and two touchdowns like that in the first quarter after the guy already clobbered you in the last game. He basically in consecutive quarters against the Eagles, he had, I think it was 183 yards and four touchdowns in two quarters. So the run game is still, you know, the run defense is still problematic, and that's where obviously a guy like Allen, you know, could be a big help.
There is no doubt, and that has been my number one concern going back to very early in the season. And yesterday, and it's amazing to me, the discussion about their defense and their defensive improvement. You just have to look at their opponents in which they've had really dominant games. Saquon Barkley had 109 yards in a quarter. Once Hurts left the game and they were a one-dimensional team, I've already mentioned, Ben, you go back and watch this thing, there are eight in the box consistently. There are nine in the box pretty often. And there are a couple of examples of literally 10 players within 2 to 3 yards of the line of scrimmage and just begging Pickett to check out of it, which he did a couple of times and did successfully a couple of times. But if you can't stop the run with the quarterback not being involved in the run game and nine players on average at the line of scrimmage, you got issues. I think the real issue is what happened in the first quarter and whether or not, you know, that is more of an indication of what they'd be against a dual threat team, a healthy Philadelphia team. The game changed so significantly for Washington's defense when Hurts left the game. Did you think Cornelius Lucas should have been called for a false start on the touchdown?
I mean, he definitely moved. I haven't gone back to watch it on the tape. The only question would be, you know, does he move? Like, he's the first one to move, but he's still moving on the snap. But, yeah, I mean, and look, somebody said to me, boy, did they take that play from the Chiefs? We've seen
yeah,
that.
With Juwan Johnson, right?
Taylor?
Juwan Taylor, yeah. Excuse me. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, I mean, yes, I it looked unusual enough to be like, whoa, wait a minute. But yeah, they. I don't necessarily know if they missed it, but it seems like they probably missed that call.
He would have just thrown a touchdown pass on the next play anyway. But actually, Pereira said through Greg Olson that he didn't think it would be called, but it was very clear on a frame-by-frame replay that he moved backwards before the ball was snapped. But Pereira said they give the tackles benefit of the doubt in kind of the same way that you get that extra extra beat on the play clock, you know, when it's down to zeros and you don't always see delay a game called. So we'll take that. And you know, there wouldn't have been a 10-second runoff, as I've mentioned a few times this morning. And Jaden would have had still two swings at least, maybe three, at the end zone. All right. Thanks for doing this. We'll discuss the schedule for this week. Happy holidays to you. I will talk to you probably later. I know I'm going to make an appearance on your podcast, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, man. I look forward to it as well. And, yeah, happy Merry Christmas to everybody, and we'll talk soon.
Ben Standig, everybody, from The Athletic. There are two plays in the game that I haven't mentioned that I want to go back and mention quickly from the game. I'll also try to sneak in a word about the RFK stuff and the college football playoff from over the weekend. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, and the team980.com.